WWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Yes, hello one and all. We're back with the FWA podcast. Every week we get one of the best football writers in the country on to discuss all the big footballing stories. Delighted to say that this week it's the Daily Telegraph's Northern football correspondent, Mark Ogden. Hi, Mark, you well?
How you doing? You okay?
Yeah, very good, thank you. We're going to have a look back at the Champions League semi-finals. We're also going to talk about Manchester United, because we've only done that on 93% of the podcast this season, and then we're going to have a look forward to the Premier League weekend, because this season just keeps on giving. The Champions League semi-finals then, no luck for Chelsea, beaten 3-1 by Atletico Madrid in the end, and of course their Madrid neighbours smashed by Munich to bits, Mark, in the week, an all-Madrid final, and quite fitting really, because Atletico have been the story of European football this year, if you take out Liverpool anyway, and Real Madrid. To beat the current European champions in such style on Tuesday night should be a decent final.
Yeah, it's a tough one to call as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I know that I think Real Madrid have been made the favourites, which, you know, it's because of their history and their tradition, and they're going for the 10th European Cup, but Atletico could go into that game as Spanish champions. So, you know, it'll be interesting if the Spanish champions go in as underdogs against the City rivals. But I think, you know, Ancelotti's won European Cups before, Ronaldo's won European Cups, and I think, you know, Ronaldo in Lisbon, you know, the year that Eusebio died, they talk about fate and things being, you know, set in the stars, and I can just see Ronaldo lifting the European Cup in Lisbon. It just seems to have the perfect ending to a season, really.
Yeah, it does. Things like that might seem a bit trite at times, say, oh yeah, this happened, but things like that do align to produce certain results. What about Mourinho's season? Just talking about Mourinho and Chelsea, no shame in losing in the semi-final, by the way, to Atletico Madrid, who could end up winning La Liga. The Premier League, probably just out of their reach, despite the great result at Liverpool. Was he right, Mark, when he was talking about the fact that this season's a building season, to paraphrase him?
Well, all managers will kind of give an excuse at the start of the season just in case it doesn't work out. You know, David Moyes at United was always at pains to say that it's a rebuilding season, team of transition, etc. But, you know, Mourinho doesn't go anywhere for a rebuilding job. I mean, obviously, it is a rebuilding job long term, but he will go somewhere wanting to win things straight away. Now, last season at Real Madrid, he won nothing. He came close. This year at Chelsea, he's going to probably win nothing, but he's going to come close. So he's not going to want season after season of going close. He wants to win things. Now, yeah, they've lost some big players. They've got some older players that have been around, but they're probably not playing every week. You know, people like Lampard. But they've still got Eden Hazard. They've got Oscar. They've got great players at Chelsea. He will have expected more from this season, because the reality is, if Liverpool finish first or second, they'll have climbed a mountain to get there from seventh last season. Chelsea's squad is better than Liverpool's, you could argue. So, you know, Mourinho will probably look back and think, they should have done better this season. Yes, it's a rebuilding season, but you have to win when you're rebuilding at big clubs.
Yeah, very true. The odds for the Champions League final at Real Madrid, 11-10, as Mark was saying, the favourites in the final, 11-5 the draw, and 23-10 the price for Atletico Madrid to do the unexpected, I guess. And what a double that would be, by the way. Not a lot's been said in the media here about Diego Simeone, but what a manager he is proven to be, and he looks menacing stood on the sidelines, doesn't he? And I imagine playing from you would he would command some respect.
He definitely looks the part, doesn't he? Looks like some sort of 1930s Chicago gangster with his all black suit on. But he's done a great job. You can't deny that. And obviously, you know, people in this country will remember him more for the David Beckham incident in the World Cup in '98, and he's kind of got a bit of notoriety because of that. But he's done a fantastic job at Atletico. He's really kind of put the club on the radar. They won the Copa del Rey last season. I think they beat Real in the Bernabeu to win that. So it's kind of turned around a situation in Madrid whereby they've always been seen as the underdogs. I mean, they always will be against a team of Real Madrid stature. But it's a bit similar to what's happened in Manchester in a way that, you know, City have come to the fore now and they've started winning things and turning games around against United. Atletico, you know, they're the same against Real, really. They no longer feel like they're the underdogs, like I say, and they've got a good team. They've got people like Diego Costa scoring goals, Koke in midfield, you know, Felipe Luis at fullback. They've got a really good team, but I think in finals you often find that the big teams with the big players, that's what their stage is, and they often win these games. And I do think that despite the fact that Atletico may go to that game as Spanish champions, I would still expect Real to win because they've got the big game players. You know, you've got Ronaldo, they've got Bale, they've got such an array of stars that you think that this is their moment, and big players do turn it on when it's their stage.
Mark mentioned Manchester clubs there. Let's have a chat about the situation at Manchester United. Mark was the journalist who won the Scoop of the Year for the Fergie Quits story, so ideally placed to talk about the next man in the hot seat. Obviously, Giggs was installed, got off to a flyer. You know, in his press conference, he got off to a flyer. Then he kind of, you know, the game obviously was great, and he came across very well afterwards. All the chat about Louis van Gaal and the book is taking loads and loads of cash on him. I mean, Guardiola's had an iffy week, if you like. Obviously, they won't just sack him on the strength of that. You know, Mourinho hasn't won anything, and you know, there's still some rumours circulating on Twitter about him getting the United job. Is it Van Gaal's this job, or is there any chance that Giggs could prove to be kind of Man United's Guardiola?
Well, long term, perhaps. But I think I'd be amazed if it's not Van Gaal now. Yeah. I think it's so far down the road, and I think everything's in place apart from the odd, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's. There's a slight issue with Ryan Giggs' position, because obviously Ryan had a role under David Moyes, and it eventually became quite a marginal role. He didn't really get involved that much, but I think he is very keen to stay involved at a good level. The club want him to stay because they're aware of how popular Ryan is and how, you know, how popular the class of 92 have become. You know, they've become like some sort of regime in waiting, you know, the Scholes, but Neville situation. So United are really kind of wary of allowing Van Gaal to come in and bringing all his coaching staff in and having no place for Ryan Giggs. They don't want to cut the old guys out straight away. But, you know, they're also aware that Ryan's not going to want to do a menial task. He doesn't want to be like the assistant manager of the reserves. He wants a proper job, you know. So there's a bit of to and fro in there. But I really don't think it's the sort of issue that's going to be a deal breaker. I think it'll be Van Gaal, and it'll be either be Van Gaal with Giggs or Van Gaal without Giggs. And how they manage that situation is going to be the key one, because if Giggs leaves, that would, you know, take a lot of the momentum away. So it's got to be handled very delicately.
Yeah. Do you think what would he do? Do you think Giggs if he didn't have a role under Van Gaal?
Well, I mean, it's a big question. I mean, he might carry on playing. You never know. I mean, he might decide to get another year under his belt, because it might seem a ridiculous scenario to look at Ryan Giggs playing for another team. But when he's played recently, you know, against Olympiacos is a case in point. He was fantastic. You know, he's 41 later this year. At some point, he's going to have to give it up. But, you know, he might decide to just finish off his coaching badges. I think he's halfway through his pro licence, so he's pretty well down the road of getting all his qualifications. He might decide to take a year out, finish his coaching badges, get himself really prepared, and put himself in position for a job in 12 months' time. The danger is, you know, you go for a job somewhere else and it doesn't work out, then you find yourself never becoming a Man United manager. You look at Brian Robson, Steve Bruce, Roy Keane, even Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. They've all taken jobs in an effort to kind of climb the ladder, and the ladder's been kind of taken away from him a little bit. So again, he's got to be very careful what he decides to do, because he may just be best just getting his coaching badges and just learning the ropes, because on that way, he can't damage himself by failing somewhere else.
Yeah, very true. You can read more about what Mark was just talking, and in Mark's article, either buying the paper, obviously, or go online and just search telegraph.co.uk, and then there's an article that fleshes out a bit more what Mark was saying about it. Van Gaal being named the manager in the next few days there. The Premier League, fantastic Premier League that we've had this season, and like I said at the start, it just keeps on getting better. Manchester City are now the odds-on favourites again, 4-5 to win the Premier League title. Liverpool 5-4, Chelsea 14-1. I tell you what, Mike, you'd have got some price on Manchester City winning their second Premier League title on goal difference again after becoming the first side to do it a few years ago. The way it stands now, if you've been living under a rock, Liverpool on 80 points after 36 games with a plus 50 goal difference. And Chelsea, 2 points back on that, also played 36 games, plus 43 goal difference. And there lies City with the game in hand on 77 points with a plus 58 goal difference. That's a hefty margin in terms of a goal difference. And obviously, if they win all the games from here on in, then the title is theirs. But this weekend, they go to Everton in the Saturday Tea Time TV kickoff, and that's no easy game, as we've seen. Everton lying in fifth place, still with an outside chance of grabbing a fourth spot, but highly unlikely. Liverpool themselves just have to keep winning now, don't they, and get back on the horse. They're away at Crystal Palace, which you'd think the way they've played this season would be a winnable game for them, and Chelsea at home to Norwich. Chelsea with the easiest running of the three, but they need results to go for them. Were you surprised at Liverpool losing to Chelsea last weekend, Mark?
I was, yeah. I mean, I thought that Liverpool were just on an unstoppable charge to the title. I was at Anfield for the City game a few weeks ago, and the atmosphere that day and the kind of the backing from the crowd really made a difference. It drove them over the line, and I just thought that against Chelsea it was the same, especially with Chelsea playing Atletico in midweek. I just felt that Chelsea would have their eye on that, but clearly it turned out differently, and it was just a real shot to the system. And you're right, City are now back in the driving seat, and it does remind me so much of 2 years ago when there's a similar occasion. United drew 4-4 at home to Everton, they threw it away, and later that day City went to Wolves, won easily, and it's just like City went to Palace, won, and basically got the, like I say, the steering wheel back after the guys. So, but Everton away is it's a fantastic game in terms of there's so many kind of elements to it. You know that Everton want Champions League, but if they beat City, they're basically handing the title pretty much to their biggest rivals, Liverpool, which they don't want to do, obviously. So Everton will, you know, they'll play to win. Footballers do. We've had this scenario so many times in the past whereby clubs have to win. If a club wins, it gives their biggest rivals a leg up. But I've never known it that clubs, you know, lie down and die. I mean, Liverpool against Blackburn is a classic in 95 when nobody at Liverpool wanted Blackburn to lose the title, but Blackburn lost that day and still won the title, and United lost at West Ham, or drew at West Ham. So Everton will give it everything they've got, but I just think City now, they can see the finishing line. They know that if they beat Everton at the weekend, they've got two home games against teams that are struggling mid-table. So I think Saturday's the day that decides the title. If Everton get a point or a win, Liverpool will win the title. If City win, then it's City's.
Yeah, it's interesting because you look at Everton. I don't know why it is about Everton this season, but almost forget about how good they've been at home. I mean, the losses at home were the 1-0 loss to Sunderland when they had Tim Howard sent off after about 20 minutes, and they still battered Sunderland that game. By the way, I remember it quite clearly. And then they lost to Crystal Palace a couple of games ago, of course, at home. Other than that, they've won virtually every game they've played. They drew 3-3 with Liverpool, drew 0-0 with Tottenham, and I think they had a draw with West Brom right at the start of the season. They've won so many games. And City away from home against the bigger sides, the better sides, have struggled a little bit this season. So there may be something in there for Liverpool. You think Liverpool will just get right back on it now and just grasp the nettle again and get on with it and win the last two then?
Well, I think it depends what happens on Saturday.
Oh, right, okay.
If City win at Everton, I think Liverpool will probably... They'll be deflated by it because they'll be looking at the Everton game as the game that gives them a chance, because they won't. I don't think Liverpool will look at City against Villa next week or City against West Ham as places where City would slip up.
No,
you never know. They could do it, but I think the problem that Everton have got this weekend is that, you know, Gareth Barry can't play because he'll be playing against his loan club. Kevin Morales is out. Phil Jagielka's struggling. Leighton Baines is struggling. Some big players are going to be missing for Everton. And on the other hand, City have got big players coming back. They've got Yaya back fit again, played great at the weekend. Aguero's fit again. David Silva might even play. I just think that you look at the personnel that are available at the weekend, that you do fancy City, but you know, if City don't win that game, then Liverpool will be right back on it, and I think they'd steamroller Palace. But if City win, then Liverpool might just drop points at Palace. They might just feel so deflated, like I say, and who knows, it could all be over next Wednesday.
Yeah, let's hope not. Let's hope it goes right till the end. The odds on that Everton-Man City game, by the way, Everton are 7-2 to win at home, which is a big price. 11-4, the draw is also big. And then Man City 8-11 to win away. The other TV games then, West Ham-Tottenham 16-5 West Ham, 5-2 the draw, and Tottenham 17-20. Not an awful lot on that one. Chelsea-Norwich, as we mentioned, that's the 4 o'clock on Sunday. 1-5 Chelsea coming back from Europe. 11-2 the draw and 12-1 Norwich. Arsenal are also in action on Sunday in the early kickoff. 2-7 Arsenal to beat West Brom, who are 9-1 and 9-2 the draw. Then that Monday night game, which is Palace at 7-1 versus Liverpool, who are 2-5 and 7-2 the draw. The other big issue, of course, at the moment, Mark, still is this relegation battle. And I mean, the relegation battles in the Premier League are pretty good most seasons, to be honest with you, and this one's no exception. Just when you think you've got a handle on it, something else happens. It looks for all the world that Norwich, Fulham and Cardiff are down now, and that's the way the bookies would have it. You can back all three of those to go down, and it's quite a short price. I think it's about 4-11 for the three to go down. But as we've seen, I mean, Sunderland, you'll be watching Sunderland at Man United this weekend, and Sunderland couldn't have, you know, almost picked a worse team to go and play a time to go and play Man United.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Sunderland were dead and buried. I really did, because
I backed them.
I mean, I saw them at City, and they were really good that night. They could have won that game, and they probably should have won that game, and then, you know, to get a Chelsea win as well. So Sunderland are on a roll, and Conor Wickham probably had the freedom of Sunderland for the rest of his life if they stay up, because he's come from nowhere. He's been the story of the last month of the season, and you know, who knows, if Andy Carroll gets injured next week, he might go to the World Cup as a kind of a real late entrant. I wouldn't put any money on that, but you just never know.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I think you're right. I do think Norwich have got a result in them somewhere. Arsenal at home, last game of the season. If Arsenal are guaranteed fourth, they've got a cup final the following week. I don't particularly rate Arsenal away from home. I think Arsenal are quite soft, and you know, Norwich need a win that day. So I think there's definitely a sting in the tail here. And I think Aston Villa, you know, they might just have enough points, yeah. But Villa to me look like that they're absolutely dropping like a stone. They got Hull at the weekend, and you know, Hull need a point probably to stay safe. So if Villa lose at the weekend to Hull, they've got a Man City midweek. I think Villa will be looking over the shoulders, but you would think that with three games left, they'll have enough. But I do think there's more to come in this relegation race. I don't think the bottom three are kind of cut adrift just yet. I mean, Fulham as well, they, you know, they've shown signs they can do things. Cardiff, I think, are gone.
Yeah, Villa. I mean, Villa, you see, you know, Hull, obviously, at home, huge game for them, because City away and Tottenham away, last game of the season. I know Tottenham aren't exactly, you know, pulling up trees, but at home, last game of the season, you know, all that goes with that, a nice sunny afternoon. All right, I'm painting a picture here, but, you know, not the easiest of games for Villa to, if they have to go and win it, is what I'm saying. Fulham's last couple at home to Stoke and away to Palace, so, you know, doable, because two teams there who are safe. Norwich, last two games, Chelsea away and Arsenal at home, which is a, you know, nightmare for them. Cardiff, Newcastle away, and Chelsea at home. So Cardiff and Norwich, you've got, you know, sticky run-ins. Fulham and Villa as well. And Fulham, maybe okay. Sunderland, by the way, away at Man United, home to West Brom and home to Swansea. So the two home games are huge for the Black Cats. Would you say one would go in there then? You think one might escape? Fulham, yeah, maybe?
I just think Norwich. I just think, on the basis that, you know, Chelsea are out of the Champions League, they're not going to win the league. They might. Whether you can see Mourinho's team losing three successive home games, I don't know. But I just think Chelsea might give them a chance at the weekend. But I just think the Arsenal game, last game of the season, Arsenal to me aren't the sort of team that will roll the sleeves up and go for it if there's nothing to play for. They'll probably be sure of fourth place on the final day, and they've got the cup final the week after. Their minds will be on Wembley. They'll be desperate to win that trophy. Norwich will be really up for it, and I think Arsenal against a team that are fighting for their lives, you wouldn't put much money on Arsenal because they don't have that fight in them. But then again, they could put four past them if they're just playing with a bit of freedom. So I'm kind of arguing against myself.
Yeah, well, that is the point, though, isn't it? I mean, that's what happened. I've done this with mates, and I've done it, you know, here at work. And every time you have an argument about it, someone comes up with a point, and you go, "Yeah, actually, yeah, I could see that." So that's the beauty of it. Cardiff 1-16 to go down, which in bookies' terms is pretty much Championship football next year. Although Liverpool were about 1-6 to win the title a week ago. Now it's 1-12. Fulham 2-9. Then you get the prices at odds against Sunderland 11-4 now, Villa 8-1, West Brom 40-1. I think, as Mark was saying there, of any of those bets there, Villa at 8-1 would have to be the touch of value. It'll give you a run for your money, you'd think, anyway. Every week we ask the FWA writers for a bet of the week, just to test their prediction skills, basically. Mark, there's been varied success this season, it's fair to say. Some outstanding, some not so. Is there anything that grabs your attention this weekend in particular?
Yeah, I just fancy West Ham to get a result against Tottenham because, you know, they've had a bit of an iffy run. There's a bit of pressure on Sam Allardyce, and you know, Upton Park is always a tricky place to go. And there's a bit of history between West Ham and Spurs, as everyone's probably aware. And I just think that Tottenham, you know, they need to get a result. Tottenham to keep Man United at arm's length in that race for that final Europa League place. And Tottenham need to go for a win. And I think with that in mind, it'll be an open game. West Ham need a bit of pride, you know, last home game of the season, Upton Park, against their big rivals. And I just think that, you know, West Ham might just take advantage there. And, you know, we all remember the old food poisoning story from a few years ago when West Ham did Spurs out of a Champions League spot. So maybe Spurs will slip up at West Ham and just open up the door for a final day charge for Europa League between United and Spurs. That's really building up, isn't it? You know, final day drama for the Europa League place that nobody wants. But yeah, I think West Ham might get a win this weekend.
16-5, it's a decent price as well. And it was only Gareth Bale's goal that beat West Ham last season. They won 3-2 Tottenham. It was a late winner from Gareth Bale that won that match. Mark, thanks very much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
You can read Mark's work in The Telegraph, of course, telegraph.co.uk, or by the paper in the old-fashioned sense. We'll have another one of Mark's colleagues on next week. In the meantime, if you want to download this, you can go to Audioboo, search the William Hill page. You can get it from William Hill's own website, which is williamhill.com/podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And if you want to check out the FWA website, it's footballwriters.co.uk, and the podcast will be available there. Thanks very much for listening and downloading the podcast. And if you're having a bet on anything this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.